Health Radio FM. I'm your host, Tamina McNabb. Today we have our special guest, Dr. Nima, the stress doctor who helps people adapt to stress. And he's a chiropractor and practices so many things that make us feel much better in our lives. Dr. Nima, we're going to talk today about your emotional health and how stress affects our emotional well-being. What are some of the things that we should be doing or looking at to be well-balanced?
Well, the first thing that was a big game changer for me was the understanding of what stress is. And if we as as a society start to study stress and understand how the body responds to stress, you can't be the same person. It's amazing. You want to make some dramatic changes. And it's exciting because you then realize that you have a choice in how you feel. Because we are a society that is bombarded with medication, especially for anxiety and depression, is a big one. A lot of people are on antidepressants or they're self-medicating for it, or anxiety. And
just we never heard of anxiety 30 years ago. I never heard my parents or grandparents talk about it. So why is it so predominant nowadays?
Well, because it's so common. And if I can convince you that you have a condition called anxiety and it's an illness that your choices don't matter, then I can keep you hooked on a pill for the rest of your life. But there's some extremely harmful side effects to these pills, one of which is suicide. And if you understand the mechanisms of the brain and you understand that these neurotransmitters will respond to our thoughts and our perceptions, then you want to start learning how to take control of them by asking very, very, very empowering questions. It's all about changing your perception. And so the important thing to understand with stress is like, it's like a tiger chasing after you. When you have a tiger chasing after you, your adrenaline and cortisol, which are your stress hormones, just get ramped up like crazy, and your body then starts to make changes so that you can survive the tiger attack. So your heart rate goes up, blood sugars go up, your blood flow goes from your organs to your muscles. That's so you can survive the tiger attack. But over a period of time, your body becomes depleted and starts to become weakened and exhausted, and that's where illness comes from. It's prolonged stress. The crazy part you have to understand as far as emotional health and well-being goes is your body does not know the difference between a real tiger chasing after you and the thought or fear of a tiger attack. So in today's day and age, that was our primitive hunter-gatherers. We have to worry about those kind of predators or whatever. Today, we don't have to worry about tigers chasing after us. What we worry about as far as stress and emotional well-being goes is, a mortgage payment, or my kid got suspended from school, or, I wasn't invited to a party. And so these types of things become our modern day tiger attack. And the problem is in school, we don't learn tools and how to adapt to these. We learn about math, we learn about chemistry, we learn Shakespeare, but we don't learn how to deal with loss. We don't learn how to manage finances. We don't learn how to overcome our depression or what to do about our anger. But these are life skills that I'm dedicated to teaching teenagers, and because pills don't teach those skills. And so what I want to do is I'm on a mission, and I want to help at least 1 million people off of medication, especially teens, especially kids, the fastest growing population on medication. I want to help them, 1 million people, off of prescription medication for stress and lifestyle illnesses.
How is it that we have children on medication nowadays and teens? And it just seems so odd to me that we give kids medicines to deal with their stress.
I don't want to get into this whole conspiracy theory stuff because, at the risk of sounding like a conspiracy theorist, there are people in suits and ties right now as we speak strategizing on how to get more drugs into more people. And I'm not saying it's never appropriate, but I think we can all agree that they're grossly overused. And so they're with very, very damaging side effects. About 2 million hospitalizations each year and 100,000 deaths from properly prescribed drugs. This is according to the Journal of the American Medical Association. So getting more and more people off of these pills is a very, very, a great idea for the health of the nation. So why is it that more and more kids? Well, it all comes down to guidelines. Like right now, you'll notice that the cholesterol, what's considered as normal cholesterol has now gone way down. So it means that more and more people, there's an increased market of more and more people who need cholesterol-lowering medications. So if we can list a bunch of symptoms, we all get up in a room listing a bunch of symptoms that are inappropriate for kids to be displaying, which are normal part of teenagers or kids, then we can convince them that they're ill and that they have chemical imbalances in their brain and that they need to take pills. And so I'm very, very, very vocal, and I feel very strongly, despite my critics, that that needs to stop and that there's a better way.
And do you agree that children are eating differently than they did many years ago, therefore there's a lot different chemical things going on as well in the foods they're eating?
We need to teach these kids and teens that in order to be healthy, we need to eat well, move well, and think well. And if we don't start there, then we're going to raise a race of children that think that they are ill and that they think that there's something wrong with them. But what about nutrition? What about exercise? It's been found to have dramatic improvements on memory, concentration, behavior, all of that stuff. And what about teaching kids in schools to follow what they absolutely love? If chemistry is not their highest value, they can't see that studying chemistry is going to get them their highest values met. They just happen to love hockey or dance, or they happen to be really hardcore musicians. So they can't focus. That same kid who's been labeled ADD, who can't, you know, sit in chemistry class, will be able to sit in front of, you know, with his guitar for 10 hours straight. That's not attention deficit. That's a misnomer. And so I'm into asking better questions of what do they love to do? What are they eating? What does a healthy person need to do to move? What kind of movements do healthy people need? What does their spinal alignment look like? Those are the considerations. Yes, it takes more work than actually giving them a pill and giving them a chemical straitjacket and telling them to sit in a corner somewhere. But I'm really concerned with healing.
Are you optimistic about the future of our young kids?
No, I'm not. That's why I do what I do. I'm actually terrified. That's what drives me. The most important thing I've dedicated myself to is teaching children about stress and how to adapt better to stress. And I want that to be taught in schools with the exact same degree of importance as math.
Why don't we have another conversation in the future about kids and teens and ADHD? That's just a whole hot topic as well. Dr. Nima, where can we reach you?
On Facebook, Dr. Nima, N-I-M-A, or drnima.com, drnima.com. Any questions? I would love to help.